Good morning, everybody. We're glad to have y'all here this morning. We all please stand as we open up with worship this morning. Gonna be a nice old song, Come Thou Fount. Song, Jesus sought me when I was a stranger. He sought me and brought me to and sealed me with his blood. Amen. Will you all bow your heads? We open up the word of prayer this morning. Dear Lord God, I thank you that you did seek me out and you sought me. You showed yourself to me, God, and you called me unto you, Lord. I thank you and I praise you for your son, his precious blood that was shed for me and for all of us, Lord. And Lord, I ask an anointing of your Holy Spirit to be upon our worship service this morning, God, that we praise and glorify you with our hearts, God, and our mouths and our minds, Lord. And Lord, I ask that same anointing to be upon our pastor as he brings your holy word to us today, God. And I thank you for it all in the name of your son, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
You may have a seat for just a brief moment. I do want to announce to you that there will be a new adult Sunday school class starting, not a new class, but a new study, I should say, that'll be happening. And there it is. Do you ever wonder about heaven? That'll be starting in 2 weeks, and that is down in the fellowship hall. So Steve's saying it's going to be a great study. So if you're interested in that, it'd be a great time for you to plug into Sunday school and connect into a small group here into the church. So that's number one. Two, don't forget the community breakfast this month has been moved up 1 week. So the community breakfast will be this coming Saturday. And again, if you can help out with that, you can show up anywhere over there between 7 and 8 o'clock in the morning. And we're usually out there by 11, usually somewhere in that area. So if you can help serve with that, please do or sign up on the above the water cooler. And then also directly following service today will be our final mission trip meeting before we leave to go on our mission trip next Sunday after service. We'll be leaving. So today after service, there will be a mission trip meeting downstairs immediately in the fellowship hall immediately following service. And also today we will be taking up a love offering for a person who attends this church regularly that has a pretty significant need. So if you feel the Lord leading you to give to that love offering, please do. Just mark love offering on it if you would, please. Thank you.
All right, thank you, Larry. We all please stand. We'll continue worship with My Life is in You, Lord.
My life is in You, Lord. My strength is in You, Lord. My hope is in You.
Sunday school is going to be about heaven. So fitting, this next song is also about heaven. Amen. Think about the first time you see Jesus.
Sing a new song to him who sings.
praise to the King of Kings. Amen. Amen. Father God, we do lift your name in praise. Lord, we fill it. We lift it with a heart filled full of thanksgiving. And Lord, we are so blessed to be here in this place. We're so blessed to be able to worship you, to lift your name on high, that we could proclaim the name of Jesus just loud and proud, Lord. And so, Lord, we just thank you, Father, for that privilege. We pray that this worship was glorifying to you and that you received it from hearts filled with love and kindness and care. And Lord, we just appreciation. Lord, we just love you and we want to offer this worship to you. And also, Lord, as we all come to give our tithes and our offerings, we want to also worship you in a like manner. Lord, we don't want to hold back of what you've first given to us, that we will give back to you. Lord, as I say all the time, Lord, if we have a dollar, we put it in. If we need one, we can just take it out. So, Lord, we pray that whatever we do both unto the glory and honor of your kingdom. And, Father, as always, as I preach your word, Lord, if I'm not the one to preach your word today, sit me down, silence my lips. Do not allow me to speak, but that you would rise up the one to speak for you. If I'm going to say something that is not true or not right, bind my lips, Lord, that I would not offend you and not mislead your people. So, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, this service from beginning to end is to bring glory and honor to you. So, Father, we love you and we appreciate you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Don't forget, we are taking up a love offering today as well. Good morning. I want to throw up a couple of prayer requests for you, if you would, please. I ask you to pray for my granddaughter, Adeline, Mike and Carol and I's granddaughter. She had a severe seizure at church this morning. Passed out, hit her head pretty hard. They took her by ambulance to the emergency room. She seems to be doing okay as far as we know. We haven't heard much out of that. But please pray for her. And please pray, continue to pray for Sheila. As she is, we hope to get out of the hospital today, right? We're hoping that she gets out today. So that, and don't forget the mission trip for sure. So anyways, you have your Bibles. Open them up to Exodus chapter 17, and I'll eventually get you there, Exodus 17. As you know, this morning we're going to continue our series of popular Bible stories in the Bible. And oh, I know what the other prayer request was. The Methodist Church downtown Colliers has not had power in three weeks. So a lot of some of their people are here with us today, and we welcome you. We enjoy having you. But listen, I couldn't imagine not having electric here for 3 weeks. So just pray that that gets resolved for them so they can get to back to their worship, all right? If you would do that, all right? So anyways, continuing our series of popular Bible studies, I want to look at a story that although popular, it may not be as popular as the creation account that we looked at or the account of Noah that we looked at last week. However, this morning I want to look at the story of Moses and the battle against the Amalekites. But in order to do that, I feel that I need to, or I want to take you on a really brief walk through the desert. Anybody up for a hike through the desert today, right? Well, listen, it begins when God called Moses to lead his people out of captivity, also known as the Exodus, right? And they began wandering in the desert. And just like most people have heard about Noah and are and most people have at least heard something about Moses wandering through the desert for 40 years, the same, right? And that's where we get the phrase, slow as Moses. Either because it took him so long to get through the desert, or maybe it was because Moses himself told God that I am slow of speech and slow of tongue, back in Exodus chapter 4, verse 10. But the truth that I'm sitting here telling you is I actually don't know where the phrase came from. I have no idea, right? But anyway, so moving on. But for 40 years, Moses and the people of Israel, the people who escaped Egyptian captivity, wandered through the desert trying to get to the land that God had promised them. We know that as the promised land, right? Now, up until this point in the journey, God took care of all the needs for Moses and the Israelites. He took care of everything that they needed. And we touched on some of that in our Joshua series that we did, where God had been actively involved in taking care of everything they needed. In fact, back in Egypt, while the Israelites were still in captivity, God came to Moses while Moses was in the desert attending to his father-in-law's flock, right? He was a herder, right? And God appeared to Moses, according to Exodus chapter 3, verse 2, the angel of the Lord, let me stop right there I want to point out here that the angel of the Lord is identified as the Lord Yahweh in the following text. So this is Yahweh, this is God, right? So God appeared to him, meaning Moses, in a flame of fire from the midst of a bush. So he looked and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed, meaning it was on fire, but wasn't being burned up. And further down through chapter 3, God tells Moses that he has seen the oppression of his people. God had looked down on Israel, seen them in slavery, right? He's seen the oppression of his people. He has seen the captivity, and he has seen the mistreatment of his people. And God told Moses, he says, hey, buddy, come here. I want to talk to you. So he goes up to burning bush. He says, hey, go tell Pharaoh. He said, go tell Pharaoh, let my people go. Let him out of there. Let him go. And then he tells Moses in verse 12 of chapter 3, he says, I will certainly be with you. And as a side note right here, isn't it encouraging to know that God sees when we are having a rough time? That he can look and he can look into your life, he can look into my life, and he can see when we're having a rough time, when we are being mistreated, when life is hard. First, God sees it, and secondly, he will certainly be with us. And later on down in chapter 3, God tells Moses that although he's going to tell Pharaoh to let God's people go, in verse 19, I want you to notice what God says. God says, but I am sure that the king of Egypt will not let you go. No, not even by a mighty hand. So I will stretch out my hand and strike Egypt with all my wonders, which I will do in the midst. And after that, he will let you go. And in Exodus chapter 4, Moses asks God, what if they don't believe me or listen? What if I go tell them? What if I go talk to Pharaoh? What if I tell them and they don't believe me? And God instructs Moses to cast a rod that he had in his hand. Remember, he was out tending the flock, so they carried a staff, right? So chapter 4, now beginning in verse 2. So the Lord said to him, what is that in your hand? And he said, a rod, meaning Moses said, a rod. And he said, cast it on the ground. So he, Moses, cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent, and Moses fled from it. Very important thing to note here. he was a smart man. Then the Lord said to Moses, reach out your hand and take it by the tail. And he reached out his hand and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. Now, here I would say, dumb man. But I can't say he's a dumb man. Why can't I say that? Because God told him to do it, right? He can't, right? He did what God said. He can't be dumb, right? Anyways, God said, do that with your rod so that they may believe. Then God told Moses to place his hand in his cloak, and when Moses pulled out his hand, it was completely leprous. Then God said, put your hand back in your cloak, and when he took it back out, the leprosy was gone. That was Exodus 4, 6 through 7, right? And again, God said, if they don't believe the rod snake thing, right? If they don't believe that thing right there, then I'll do this. And if they don't believe that, then take some water from the river and pour it on dry land. And when it touches the dry land, it will become blood on the dry land. So God's saying, look, he's telling Moses, he says, you do this, this, and this. And if they still don't believe you, then I'll do this. And I'll show my power so they might believe that you're telling what so they might believe what you're telling them. Now let me ask, is God just not cool or what? Do you realize that even when we may not think that God is doing anything at all about your situation, right? He sees us and he knows us, and in his own power and in his own might, in his own way, he is doing this, this, and this, and this. And listen, all these things that he was doing was probably not the way we would expect him to do things. Amen. He did them the way he wanted to do them. He did these things right in his own might. Why? So that we might believe it is him working it out in us, right? God has a plan for you and I, right? He has a purpose for every one of us to whom he's called unto himself. Now, most of you know my story. There was a lot of hardship in my life, a lot of trouble. Most of it, a good bit of it, by my own doing, right? But God was doing this and this and this so that one day I saw him in all of it, in the midst of it. He was working in all of that, and I saw him even in the hard stuff, and it came to a point that one day that he, after he'd done all these things in my life, I believed. What a great story. And then I believed, right? God did these things, and it produced faith that I could trust him, right? God's just cool, amen? Anyway, you know the story. God showed Moses all these cool things, and then Moses says, he's talking to God, right? Moses says, I'm slow of speech and slow of tongue. Now, let me paraphrase this for you. This is what Moses says. God, can't you send someone else to do this? I don't speak well. You all remember I tried to use that excuse when you were trying to call me as your pastor. He says, can you get someone else to do this? I don't speak all that well. And that's a whole other sermon. So for now, let's move forward out of that. So Moses is now, Moses is before Pharaoh. Moses and his brother Aaron now, right? Now remember when Moses said, can't someone else do it? I don't speak well. God said, you know, wait a minute, your brother Aaron will help you out, right? So they're together now. And so they are both there now. Verse 6 of chapter 7 says this, then Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded them, so they did. So now, they're off going to tell Pharaoh what God wants him to do, what God wants Pharaoh to do, and that God wants Pharaoh to let his people go. And as proof, Moses did the whole rod snake thing, right? So in Exodus 7 and 10, Moses used his rod and cast it before Pharaoh, and it became a serpent. Well, Pharaoh, he wasn't impressed. He still didn't believe, right? He just wasn't impressed. And then in Exodus chapter 7, verse 20, Moses uses the same rod and stretches it out over the waters of Egypt, and the water turned to blood. And over and over and over, as God brought different plagues up on the Egyptian. But God told Moses to use the rod to do this, use the rod to do that, use the rod to do this, use the rod to do that. And each time he did, what was displayed? God's power. God's power and God's presence was displayed through them being obedient to what he told them to do. And then once Pharaoh finally decided that I'm going to release the Israelites, right? Exodus chapter 14, verse 15, right? Moses held up his rod and God opened the Red Sea for the Israelites to get across it. The reason he had to open it was because Pharaoh decided to chase after him, right? So he used that rod to open up the Red Sea. And then as the Israelites traveled through the desert, God in Exodus chapter 15, verse 25, he turned bitter, afflicted, dangerous water into a sweet water suitable for drinking. And then when the Israelites were hungry in Exodus chapter 16, God provided manna from heaven, right? We all know that story, right? God provided manna from heaven. And then leading up to the battle of the Amalekites in Exodus chapter 17, Moses struck a rock with his rod, and water came out of it for the people to drink. And over and over and over in the book of Exodus, take time and read it. I may preach a series through that, so take time and read it, right? You will see that God continually was protecting and providing for his people. Protection and provision. Protection and provision. All the way through, right? And so that is where we are in our walk through the desert. So now, turn with me to Exodus chapter 17, verses 8 through 13, and read with me if you will. I need a drink already. Oh boy, it's going to be good. Verse 8, Now Amalek, these are enemies of Israel. Just so when I say that, it's the enemies of Israel, the Israel people, right? Now Amalek came and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us some men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. We all know what that rod is, right? A rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And so it was when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let his hand, when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. You see the spiritual there, right? But Moses' hands became weary. Now there's a physical. But Moses' hands became weary, became heavy. So they took a stone and put it under him and sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands, one on one side, the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. So Joshua defeated Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. Now, in order to fully understand the picture here, we need to first understand who the Amalekites were, right? Who were they? The Amalekites were descendants of Esau. Now, y'all remember Esau, right? Esau and Jacob, they were twins, and Esau sold his birthright for a bowl of soup, right? He sold it out for a bowl of soup. All because Esau cared more about the desires of his flesh than the position that God had given to him or placed him in, right? Again, another sermon for another day. But that's where the Amalekites come from. They come out of Esau, and what they represent, they were enemies of Israel. They were enemies of God because they were enemies of God's people. And if you were to read the account of this battle in Deuteronomy 25, verse 17 through 19, you would find that the Amalekites pulled a sneak attack and came up from the rear. It's kind of like the old blind side, right? Somebody comes up, taps you on your shoulder, and you get punched, right? It was kind of like they were blindsided. So now Israel is now at battle with the Amalekites and Moses, right? Exodus 17. And Moses assigns Joshua to go and fight. And in verse 10, Joshua did as Moses told him to do. He went and did exactly what Moses told him to do. And then verse 11, Moses, along with his brother Aaron and Hur, went to the top of the hill with rod in hand. So the first thing that I want to point out to you this morning is this, is that the Christian life is one of battles and blessings. Anybody disagree with that? The Christian life is one of battles and blessings. No, now up until this point, right, all the way up until this point in chapter 17, Israel did not have to fight anyone during their exodus out of Egypt. There was no physical battle for them coming up out of Egypt. Because why? Because God fought for them, and God provided for their physical needs. He provided their food. He provided their water. And God also protected them, provision and protection, right? But now we find the Lord choosing to use the people of Israel, right? He's using the people of Israel to fight and overcome the enemy. Now, keeping this in mind, Israel did not have a trained fighting army. And they did not have the armor necessary to go into a battle. I want you to remember, these were people who had been enslaved for 40 years and then wandering around the for 400 years and then wandering around the desert for 40 years. So they weren't trained fighters. They had been oppressed and mistreated for hundreds of years. They were slaves, not soldiers. I want you to keep that in your head. So they didn't leave Egypt with an arsenal of weaponry or training, right? Now, I feel certain that as they wandered through the desert, right, as they wandered through the desert in search of the promised land, they were not expecting an attack. It wasn't something that they were like, wait a minute, we need to be on guard here. God has, but no, they didn't, because God had always been protecting them and providing for them. You know, After all, God had destroyed the Egyptians at the crossing of the Red Sea, right? So they weren't after him anymore, right? But now, out of nowhere, from behind, here come the Amalekites. But isn't that the way it generally happens? I want you to think about it. Isn't that the way it generally happens? Everything is going okie-dokie. Everything is okay. Everything's kind of calm and collective. And then, bam! Right? Out of nowhere. Bam! Something unexpected catches you off guard. Like when you're sailing through life and all of a sudden you have a massive heart attack. Or diagnosed with cancer. Like when a storm rolls through and rips the roof off your house. Like when out of nowhere and totally unexpected you lose your job. Or when your car breaks down and you can't pay your rent because you don't have enough money to cover both. Or when you're in an accident on your way to work and you total your car. Or like when a flood comes and takes everything that means anything to you, like your home, your possessions, your children. Listen, the truth is we all have unexpected crises in our lives, amen? And when they come, in order to overcome the crisis, we have to put our best plan together to overcome it. And it involves somebody besides you. We've got to put our best plan forward to overcome it. And for Israel, the plan was that Joshua and some of the men would go fight the Amalekites, and Moses would climb up on a hill above the battle, and once he was there, he would take his rod, the rod that God gave him way back while they were still in Egypt, the rod that had proven its power, right? It represented the power and presence of God. And he would take that rod, and he would hold it up over his head as he faced the battlefield. Let me ask you this. In what position in your life do you hold the power and position of God's presence when you're facing the battles in your life? What position do you hold God? Is it up here? Or is it down here? Really important. Like Moses, I pray you hold the presence of God Almighty over yourself. Right? Because that is how you will have victory in your life. Right? So as the account is told, as long as Moses held the rod up, the Israelites would prevail. And when his arms became tired, right, when he got weary, right, physically weary, and he would drop, and when he began to drop, right, the enemy, he would begin to prevail. So the text says, and listen, this is so important right here. The text says in verse 12 that Aaron and Hur took a stone and put it under Moses for Moses to sit on. So Moses' people come, they see him, he's faint, he's weary, he's losing strength. They can physically see it in him, right? I looked at a guy this morning, I said, "You look physically tired." And he looked at me, he says, "I am." And I could tell. So these guys could look and see that Moses was tired. He was getting weak. He was getting weary. And so they come and they undergirded him. And what it did, they brought him support. They seen it and they went and brought support. And then Aaron and Hur supported Moses' hands, one right, his arms, one on one side and one on the other side. And Moses' hands were steady until the going down of the sun. I want you to notice something. The support from Moses' people continued as long as it needed to. Very important. The support that Moses received from his people, from the people who he was with, supported him as long as they needed it to. And the Israelites under Joshua's leadership, and Moses' dependence on God with the support staff, with that leadership and that support staff and Moses, they defeated the Amalekites. This is important, and I think you can know where I'm going here. They defeated the Amalekites, but here's the important thing about that. When Moses got weak, Joshua started to fail. Do you ever think that maybe my weakness might cause you to fail? Or that your weakness might cause me to fail? Now remember, Joshua was down on the battlefield. He was down on the battlefield, and Aaron and Hur, they saw what was happening, and they realized what the problem was, and they came together, and they propped Moses up, right? They propped him up. Now I want you to notice, victory was obtained through Joshua, Moses, and without a doubt, it was also with Aaron and Hur, and a faith that God in his presence and power was with them all. They all knew what this meant. They all knew what that represented. And you all know what else I noticed? This is important too. The text doesn't say that Moses asked Aaron and Hur for help. It doesn't say he asked them for help. Church, this is for us corporately and individually. He didn't say, "Hey guys, hey, I need some help up here. Hey, look guys, look, I'm struggling here." He didn't say that. Listen, there's something else I noticed. Joshua didn't send them. Joshua didn't say, "Hey, boys, going up there. He's having problems. Joshua didn't send them." That's not what happened. Rather, Aaron and Hur saw a need and they jumped in. "Oh God, please open our eyes to this. Please open our eyes to this, Lord." Notice they realized that. They realized that on their own, right? They realized that individually on their own. They also knew that individually they couldn't win the battle, right? Moses knew that he couldn't win the battle either on his own. And Joshua down on the battlefield could not win the battle either on his own. None of that on their own was going to be able to happen on their own. But obviously they realized that the power was in the rod, right? Meaning the power of God was represented in the rod. It was by the power and dependence on their power and dependence on God that they together won the battle. All of them collectively coming together in the battle made the victory. So let me ask you this. In our day, in our day as believers, where or who is our rod? Is that a right way to ask that? In our day, their sign was the rod, that the presence of God was there, right? That rod represented the presence of God. In our day, in our lifetime as believers, who is our rod? the Holy Spirit. Right? The Holy Spirit is our rod. He is the power of God, right, among us and in us. That is the power of God. Now, I'm going to tell you a truth that many of you already know. So hang on, right? You already know this. Sometimes as Christians, we get weak. Sometimes as Christians, we get tired. Sometimes as Christians, we get overwhelmed. We get battle-worn, amen? We get battle-worn to where it's hard for us to stay standing physically, and oftentimes it's hard for us to stay standing spiritually as well. And when that happens, you know what happens when that happens? We get attacked. Satan is no fool. He sees and he knows. He looks and he can see when we get physically tired, when we get spiritually tired, is that he can look. He's like, aha, time to blindside. And when the attacks come and keep coming, right, there are times that we spiritually are not strong enough. Watch. We're not spiritually strong enough to hold up the fight, to fight the battles against us anymore. The battle is bigger than we are because we're already weak. Anybody in this place have any idea what I'm talking about? I see a lot of heads going like this. You're tired. You're weak. You're spiritually worn. And the battle just keeps coming and coming. And you're thinking, I need help. I can't begin to tell you the number of times over the years that people have said to me, I just can't take it anymore, Pastor. I just can't do this anymore, Pastor. And let me ask you a question. Why do you think they say that? There's another truth that you already know that I'm going to enlighten you with again. You know why they say that? Here, watch. Life is hard. Life is hard. It's often a serious battle, and it's usually sometimes a series of battles. And when we are at that place, when we think, I can't take it anymore, it sounds like this, I'm done. That's when brothers and sisters, listen, that's when we need the supporting staff to be able to come in and undergird us, right? That when the spirit in me grows weak and I get physically weary, I need your spirit to come alongside of me. Do I have the spirit in me? Yes. Anybody here ever get spiritually tired? I'm not saying that you've ever doubted yourself. I'm just saying it's the battle, the spiritual battle. And it just comes. And listen. Sometimes you need somebody to come alongside. I may need your spirit to come alongside to hold me up physically, but more importantly, I need you to hold me up spiritually. Listen, I'm not going to lie to you all here. I'm not going to do that. There have been times in my own Christian life, times as your pastor, when I've said, I don't know if I can do this anymore. Anybody here ever served in ministry for long periods of time? You've been that place? So I don't know if I can do this anymore. And truthfully, those times have come more than once, and I've said those words more than once as well. I can't do this anymore. And there have been a few of you who have come alongside of me, right? Thank God. There have been a few who have come alongside of me and said, we've got you, brother. We're going to walk through this with you. And two people in this congregation who were really, really good at this were Marty Scovart and Patsy Schaefer, who are now with the Lord, and I miss them greatly. But praise God, I still have you. I still have you. God's provided you for me and me for you, right? So now some of you are going to have to step up, right? You volunteers? Actually, some of you already have. So I ain't going to put you on the spot. And here's the thing about that. Ultimately, it is God who gets us through anything. Amen? It is. It's ultimately God who gets us through anything and through our dependence on Him, right? You know, I heard a commentator on Fox News talking about the flooding in Texas and the devastation and loss, and she said this. This is what she said, quote, "I can't imagine how you would get through anything like this without God." And she said, I thought, yep, you're right. It, you know why? Because it's our dependence on God that will help us, that will help get us through. Notice how many people showed up in Texas. Notice how many people showed up in Tridelphia. He sends support staff, right? God has support staff. Listen, I guess the word for me would be this, would be rely not on your own understanding, but your dependence on God. I don't know how God's going to fix it. I just know that he can, right? So rely not on your own understanding, but on your dependence on God. And let's say he will provide a way. And let me tell you something else. Let me tell you, God will use other people to hold you up. God will use other people to support us, to help us, to redirect our focus on God, right? And not the situation at hand. Isn't that what Aaron and Hur did? They came and they brought his attention back, right? What he needed to be doing. Listen, that means this. God may ask us to give to give to a love offering, right? God may ask us to give. Why? Because we may need to save somebody's house. We may need to keep their electric and water on while it's so hot outside, right? You know, it could be any of that. So here's the point. Moses' dependence on God is what won the battle, but Aaron and Hur supported him when he became weary, when he began to fall, right? And Aaron and Hur depended on God as well, right? And God used them to support their leader. And in that same way, the pastor in the church can't win the battles on his own. I can't. I can't win the battles all by myself because I will eventually get tired and weak and I'll begin to fail, right? I'll begin to break apart. And whenever the pastor gets weak, that is when Satan is going to attack when we least to expect it. Satan will come from behind and blindside us if we're not prepared. And that's when Satan starts gaining ground, right? When we're not prepared, it's when he starts gaining ground. And listen, that's what the Amalekites represent. They came from behind to attack those whom God had set apart. And not only can I win all the battles on my own, but the same goes for the leaders of the church, right? The leaders of the church cannot run their ministries by themselves. They have to have help. They have to have support, right? I want you to remember this, and you've told you all this before too. Remember, this church is not successful on a me concept. This church is not successful on a me concept. The reason the church is successful is because it's a we concept. Don't ever forget that, right? It's a we concept. Understand, like in our text right here today, the battle would not have been won. Watch, this is important. The battle would not have been won unless everyone in that group was dependent on God and knew that God would deliver them. You have to know that. That's how you enter into the battle. When you enter in with God, you are dependent on God, and you know that God can deliver and that he will deliver. Aaron and Hur were just as important as Joshua and Moses. You are just as important as me. I often say the most important person in the people in the church is the person who cuts the grass and the people who sweeps the floors. I believe it. It's not me, it's we. They don't care how much I know until they know how much I care. They don't care how much I know when they walk in there and say, this place is a dump. Why would I want to come back here? They've already decided they ain't going to come back here. Listen, it's important. Every single one of us is important, right? I want to point out something here, and there is not a lot mentioned about her, right? There's not a lot mentioned about him. Basically, he is known to be a companion to Moses and Aaron, meaning he was just a faithful friend. There wasn't some great significance about him. The Bible doesn't tell us that Hur was a prophet. He doesn't tell us the Bible doesn't tell us that he was a preacher. He doesn't tell us that he was a contractor, a truck driver, a building inspector, an accountant, or a landscaper, or a mechanic. He was just a regular old guy, just like you and I. And we all know, all we know is that he was a friend to Moses and Aaron. Important. We don't know if they had any special talents, gifts, other than he was a friend. But here's the thing about that. If you take any one of these men, watch. If you take any one of these men out of the situation at hand in our text, right? If you take any one of these men out of that situation, the battle would have been lost. And the very same could be said of you and I in this church. From the strongest to the weakest, God will and can use you. Listen, the church will lose the battle in the world. The church will lose, I didn't say God. I said the church will lose the battle in the world for the lost. And listen, some of those lost people, you all love. You all love and have relationships with. So if we are not willing to step up, we will lose the battle for those that we love. And we will, and listen, we will lose the spiritual battles in our life, in our own lives as well, unless we all turn together in dependence on Christ, right? That's the fuel, right? That we all turn together in dependence on Christ and move together to conquer the enemy. Because if we leave anybody out, anybody at all, even those among us that we think have less value, even the weak among us, if we leave anybody out, we will fail, we will lose. Let me ask you this. If Joshua would have lost the battle, how many people would have perished? We're in a battle, folks. When one of your family or loved ones, which one of them do you want to lose? What's the answer? None of them. That's why our church motto and our church mission statement and our church purpose statement is the same. That's why it's the same. Love God, love others. Right? Let me add there, we should love each other as well. Right? Therefore, if I see somebody spiritually hurting, what? If I see someone spiritually hurting or see someone spiritually struggling, as a pastor, if I see that, what should I do? I probably should go to that person and try to help them, correct? I should try to minister to them. I should try to be a friend. And listen, it's no different for any of you sitting here right now that call yourself a Christian. You're absolutely no different than me. Therefore, when you see another brother or sister struggling in their life, in their spiritual life or whatever, right? We need not to ignore it. We need not to turn our head and move away from it. We need to get involved, right? We need to get in there. We need to get involved. Their problem should be our problem as well. Because if we don't get involved, do you know what happens? What happens when we do that is that person will become weak. And when that person becomes weak, they're going to get attacked. And if they are not getting the support that they need when that happens, they begin falling away from God, and then they begin to fall away from the church, and they become weak in their faith. And then from behind, the enemy comes. all too eager to attack. So let me ask you this. What would have happened to Joshua if Aaron and Hur wouldn't have helped Moses? All of them, including Israel, would have been destroyed. So when we do that as Christians, when we turn our heads the other way and say, let somebody else do it. I do enough already. Let somebody else do it. I don't have the time to get involved. The honest one is I just don't want to get involved, right? Besides, I have enough on my own plate. Or here's one I feel like I am constantly holding up. I feel like I'm constantly helping the same person over and over and over again. Or send someone else. I've got my own issues. I can't tell you the number of times people have called me to let me know that I need to go help someone out to hold them up. People will call me and say, hey, you need to go help so-and-so is having a problem, so-and-so this, so you might need to go help them, go check them. And I agree with you. I 100% agree with you. I should. Right? I should. But so should you. If God put them in front of you, then maybe you should consider that God is calling you to be that support, to be that friend, right? And you have to realize holding others up, watch this, holding others up might not be the most pleasant thing for us. As it wasn't for Moses, Joshua, Aaron, and Hur. Because if you think about it, right? If you think, I'm certain that Aaron and Hur had to smell some armpits. Probably wasn't real pleasant. I'm sure Joshua had to experience some things and look at things that were pretty ugly down on that battlefield. Probably some pretty graphic things. And as a man, Moses, as a man, supposedly being the leader, I'm probably thinking at that time he had a great feeling of inadequacy. What am I saying? Sometimes support isn't pleasant. Sometimes it's just not pleasant. And sometimes serving God isn't either. And you don't take that from me. Go ask Jesus. Go ask Him. But I want you to notice they got in there and they did the work, right? And you know what? I'm sure their arms got tired too. But when we are working together for the greater good of what we know is true and what we believe to be true, we can overcome any battle that is brought against us together as a church, as a body, together. It's not me, it is we. We are better together. We are stronger together. We are united when we are united in Christ together. And there isn't anybody in this church, who is called by God, who is insignificant in the battle against Satan. Let me repeat that. Not a single person called by God is insignificant. Not the tallest, not the smallest, not the strongest, not the weakest, not the most knowledgeable, not the least knowledgeable, not the most physical, not the least physical, like Moses. Not the most skilled, not the least skilled. We all have a role. And listen, the attack will come. The hardships will come. And sometimes we are completely blindsided. And we are getting, listen, we're getting ready to leave for the mission trip next Sunday, right? There's coming a lot of hard work. You know what else is coming down there? A lot of personalities. Like 40 of them. Like 40 personalities, right? A lot of skilled but equally unskilled people, a lot of knowledgeable people, and equally unknowledgeable people. But where's the common denominator? The common denominator is this. We are all willing workers for Jesus Christ, right? We want to help others who are in need. Now, we are renovating a church that will reopen as a new church plant, right? Renovating an old church that will reopen as a new church plant in the community of St. Albans, West Virginia. And I feel in my heart that this church will grow quickly and it will make a huge impact in the community of St. Albans and beyond. So let me ask you this. Do you think Satan is going to sit still for that? No, 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 no. He's not going to sit still for that. Do you think Satan wants to get in the midst of our group and stir the pot? I'll guarantee you. Listen, don't be so naive to think that he hasn't already started. Don't get blindsided. Because we have been planning and preparing and not thinking about fighting and battles. That's not what's on our mind. We're thinking that all's going to go smoothly. We're going to go down there and we're going to get after it, buddy. We're going to conquer it. We're going to get all this done. We're going to get that done. And we're just going. We're not thinking about somebody in the background. But like I said, a lot of people, a lot of personalities. So what am I telling you? We have to remember, this is so profound. We have to remember to be a friend. We need to remember to be a friend, to be united for the common cause, to make Christ known. Amen? And we have to be alert to that, knowing that Satan's at work. Otherwise, Satan will come from behind and whap, right? And slap us, and he'll catch us off guard. So you know what we need to be doing? We need to be watching and praying. Not just for that, but it's for everything in our church, all the ministries in our church. We need to be watching and praying. And all you brothers and sisters need to be watching and holding us up in your prayers as well. And you know how long you need to do that? Forever. Continuously. Which is point number two. You all thought you were getting out of here, didn't you? Here's point number two. The Christian life is one of watching and praying. Listen, what was Moses doing up on the hill? He was watching the battle, right? But I'm sure that he was doing some serious praying as well. Would you not suspect that? I'm reading into that, obviously. But would you not suspect as Moses is up there that he's praying as this is all going on? Likewise, here at Open Door and personally, we need to be watching and praying. We need to be expecting Satan's attack. Let's not get caught off guard. Let's not let our guards down here or abroad. And let's start taking notice of people who are having a hard time. Let's start taking notice of people who seem to be struggling and can't seem to keep their head above the water. John 15:13 says this, greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for his. Therefore, if God has shown you and has brought it into your vision that that person has a problem, then it is you that he is calling to support them. Don't turn your head and walk away. And listen, you may be the one who gets attacked. You may be the one who has turned your head several other times with other people, but what happens when it's your time? What happens when it happens to you, when you are getting, when you're getting attacked and you need help, right? And if it hasn't happened, it's going to happen. Do you want people to turn away from you? Absolutely not. You wouldn't want that. Would you want me, if I was driving down the road to see one of you ladies of the church, right? I'm driving down the road, one of you ladies of the church off the side of the road with a flat tire and all your stuff was pulled out of your trunk laying alongside the road, you know, all your Kroger shopping and Walmart shopping you just did and all the, you know, whatever the delivery guys are. Amazon boxes sitting out on the ground, right? And I obviously go by there. I see all that on the ground. And I see your flashers on. And I just pulled up and beeped the horn. Beep, beep. And say, hey, how you doing? Man, that's too bad. I hope the rest of your day gets better. I'll pray for you. See you later. I got to go. If I did that, let's be truthfully honest, you would think, that wasn't very Christ-like. That wasn't very Christian of him. It sounds like this. He's a jerk. That's what you would say. Yeah, look, I can't believe that. Well, listen. Much serious things. When we start doing that to each other as Christians, oh my. It won't be long before we become, watch, it won't become before long before we become a defeated people. And you know what? It won't be long before we become a defeated church. It won't be long before we become defeated individually. And when we are weak, we are no heavenly good, and we will lose the battle. So we need to start to be alert and aware, praying and watching. First Peter tells us that be alert, be watching, praying, because why? Because the devil walks around like a roaring lion, seeking in whom he may devour. So be alert and be aware, praying and watching. And then, just like Moses, when he sent Joshua into the battlefield and he climbed up on that rock, watch, we likewise have to put feet on our prayers and be willing to support each other, no matter how big a person's battle is. That we all who are called by God are called to get personally involved. Galatians chapter 6, verses 9 through 10. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart, we don't give up. Therefore, as we have the opportunity, as we have the privilege, right? As we have the opportunity, the privilege, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. Listen, I can help a few of you. And each of you can help a few people. But not one of us can do it all. So we need to support one another and we need to be a friend. You know, sometimes I need supported. Sometimes Pastor Rich, and he's gone again. Where'd he go already? Sometimes Pastor Rich needs supported. Sometimes Mike needs supported. Sometimes the building committee needs support. Sometimes your kids need support. Sometimes someone who has suffered a loss needs support. Sometimes your neighbor needs support. Sometimes your community needs support. Sometimes the stay-at-home mom needs support. Sometimes you need support. Amen? And isn't that as Christians, as co-laborers for Christ, isn't that what we're supposed to do? We're to offer hope. We're to offer support. Listen, many, many, many times I have watched people at this church. Many times I've watched people at this church support other brothers and sisters. And I've watched people at this church support non-believers as well. And I'm going to say this. I am so proud of this church and how they do that. You guys are not scared. You guys are willing to do this. Your guys are willing to come out and support. You say, Pastor, then why are you making so much of this? You're keeping us here till 12:30 crying out loud. You're telling us all this, and then you're saying you're doing a great job at it? We can do better. Let's not settle. Let us be better. Not that we can boast, but that we can glorify God, and that the battle that we're in the midst of will be won. Not for our glory, but for His glory. Because if they lost that battle then, this would all be different. I've told you before, people don't care what we know until they know how much we care, right? And that begins right here. That begins right here with us. And never forget that rod, Moses' rod, represented faith and trust in God. And holding that up is the same as us, the same as Christ being lifted up. Because when we look up to the cross, we see and we know that Jesus overcame the world, and He's on our side. He already won the victory. And when we put our faith and trust in that, then we can trust that my battle, that any battle that I have that comes before us, we can face it. That Jesus has already defeated it, and Jesus left the Holy Spirit here to live inside of us to hold up our arms. Jesus says he sent the Holy Spirit to be our helper, right? So when we believe and put our trust and dependence in him, then he comes in our lives and makes us victorious over the battles through the support of the Holy Spirit. And listen, as a bonus, Jesus gives us brothers and sisters to hold us up as well. That's why he gave you me and me you. He just didn't do it so we sit around and sing Kumbaya. That's not what he gave us each other for. He gave us each other to encourage and to strengthen one another, to hold one another accountable in love, right? To come alongside of one another to help us win a battle in our lives. The thing I want you to notice out of all of this, the battle was won when and after all the people worked together. The battle was won. In this story, there's no innocent bystanders. It was all for one and one for all. One side was blessed and one side was cursed. Let me ask you a question. Which side are you serving today? Well, let me give you a little bit of advice. The smart choice is to choose the side that loves God, loves others, and serves both. Father God, thank you, Lord Jesus, that you have come alongside of us through the power of your Holy Spirit, Lord, and you do not leave us as orphans. You do not leave us helpless. You do not leave us as one without hope, but you have placed all hope in us. First through your Son, Jesus Christ, and now through the Spirit that lives inside of us, that comes alongside of us in our greatest time of needs. And Lord, that on top of that, you said, hey, I've got a church for you. I've got people for you that are going to love you and support you, and they're going to hold you up when you can't stand up. So Lord, allow this church to have that. Allow this church to have that mentality. It's not me, it's we. It's not that it wouldn't be, Lord, that we would have the attitude, I don't have the time. We would have the attitude, I'm going to make the time. After all, Lord Jesus, you made the time for us. And Lord, I just pray that we, as your church, will be like these people with Moses. Lord, help us to always glorify you. Help us always to serve one another. And help us always to love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We all please stand with us.
give God the glory. Amen? Yes. Don't forget the missions team meeting immediately following this service downstairs in the fellowship hall. Listen, go out there. Look for a way to serve someone. Intensely. Be a friend. Go be a friend. All right? And I know that John is somewhere in the building. He might need one. So, see John. All right. Love you guys. You're dismissed. Thank you. God bless you. You're